Tales of Zendaya, Chapter 7, On the Run. Wait, so you're telling me your father, the King of Zendaya, is trying to have you, his only daughter and Princess of Zendaya, murdered? Yes, April stared, biting her lip. You're bloody mad, Balthar paced up and down the room. He can be a ruthless bastard when he needs to be, but murder his own family? No. No way. Then explain the gashes across my cheek, Balthar, or the fact not a single guard was in the palace, or the fact you saw Shea say she worked for my father. Balthar continued pacing and hastily lit a cigarette. Did you find him and ask him about all this? He asked, taking short puffs. No, I just ran. If he's trying to kill me, I don't want to go right to him, do I? In the back of April's mind, memories of happier times with the king played out in sepia tones. A lead weight had settled itself in her gut for the past week and showed no signs of moving. Well then, how can you know for sure? Balthar stopped pacing. It might have all been some misunderstanding. Oh, it looks like a gore tiger, smells like a gore tiger, acts like a gore tiger, is currently trying to eat me, but no, let's ask it if it's a gore tiger just in case. April had come to the end of her tether. It could be a cuddly little ray bunny. Maybe it's just been Willow all along. The dog was laid on the bed, watching. She appeared concerned at the mention of her name. Balthar heaved a smoke-filled sigh. All right, you've made your point. So, what do you want to do about it? April sat on the edge of the bed, fidgeting with her fingers. I don't know. I sort of hoped you might have some ideas. I thought about finding the ranger, but I've no idea where he's staying. There's a ranger in town? Balthar frowned at April. Yes. Did my dad not tell you? He's been teaching me aeromancy, and hopefully he'll teach me pyromancy, if I ever see him again. That's unusual. Balthar scratched at his brow. Normally, were a ranger in town, the whole place would be abuzz. You know what the bloody gossips around here are like. He's quite private, April said. In fact, I'm not sure if he's even staying in town or somewhere else. I do only see him once a week, after all. Nonetheless, he's not much good to us right now, though I'll admit I'd feel a damn sight safer were a ranger here. Look, I think we should go up to the palace and just ask your father what's been going on. There must be a reasonable explanation, or hopefully a less gruesome one, Balthar reasoned. No, we can't trust him. Not until we figure out why she is here, and what happened to the guards, and... April's words caught in her throat. There's something else. Oh? Balthar flicked his cigarette into a nearby ashtray and immediately lit a second one. He's been very touchy when I've asked him about my mother, specifically about her side of the family and her magical abilities. Something just doesn't feel right. April looked down at her bare feet. Ah, well, it's natural that you're curious, and your mum has been a touchy subject for the king long before she died. It's no surprise he's cagey about it. What? But why? He's never had problems talking to me about her before. Balthar again began pacing. Did he tell you about her being a princess of a country that's now part of Zendaya? Yes, he did. April recalled the conversation in her father's study. Well, how do you suppose that went? Balthar took a long drag of his cigarette. Oh, hello, Mr. King, sir. I'm going to marry your daughter to strengthen relations between our countries. And then, oh, by the way, you're not king anymore. Sorry, chum. No hard feelings and all that. Wait, we just took it. April was astounded. Yep. Theft of an entire country. I have never seen anything quite like it. Entirely legal, of course. But then that is the advantage of making the laws of the land. Balthar's eyes narrowed. We had superior military might, a larger trade influence, and we had your mother, who was essentially held as a sort of potential hostage, at least in her father's eyes. There was no way for them to win. April's head spun with this new information. But they loved each other, didn't they? My mum and dad? Oh, the king loved your mother. There's no questioning that point. He'd ne'er have harmed a hair on her head. And he loves you even more, I'd reckon. April looked up at the dwarf with misty, tired eyes. Look, if you're not willing to speak to him, then you can at least stay here while you figure things out. Though no bloody sneaking around. Thank you, Balthar. I really don't know what I'd do without you. Though, can I ask, How did you know we were here? We were very quiet coming in. Balthar smirked at the princess. There's a beam missing under this room, so I never put anyone in here. The noise carries right through the bar. Doesn't matter how gentle they are, it sounds like they're tap dancing right on top of my head. Though I'll admit you are quieter than most. Balthar noticed a faint orange glow through the window, which looked like it was growing nearer. In any case, get some rest, April, and we'll figure all this out tomorrow.
Okay. Thanks again, really, April said sincerely as Balthar wandered out the door and gently latched it behind him.
She snuffed the bedside lamp out and slumped backwards into the bed, exhausted. Everything ached, her mind was spinning, and she couldn't quite focus on one thought in her head long enough to process it, but she felt safe at last. As she closed her eyes, a voice bellowed from outside.
Balthar of Landreth, in the name of His Royal Highness Sandal Quosteed, the King of Zendaria, I demand you surrender yourself and come out quietly. Show no resistance and you may yet live.
April recognized the impeccably dutiful voice of Stanisforth, the royal guard. Balthar burst back into the room, a frantic look across his face.
He's here! He's here, April! My father? Him and the entire bloody royal guard! I thought they'd disappeared. Why are they asking for you?
Balthar paced towards the window and looked out, hiding behind the window frame.
Oh, they're not asking. If I don't go out there now, I'll be torn to pieces and scattered throughout the realm.
Balthar!
April heard her father's voice call out, and she immediately ran to the window, as did Willow.
You've kidnapped my daughter, betrayed a friend in arms, and ultimately committed treason. If you don't come out here right now, by the gods, I swear there won't be anything left of you to go to trial.
April's face turned pale.
They think you kidnapped me,
she exclaimed at Balthar, who was oddly still.
You're here, and somehow they know it. I'd bet not a single guard saw Shear at the palace, which to their mind just leaves a broken window and door, lots of blood, and a missing princess and her dog. And you're here.
April looked back out the window at her father and the hundreds of guardsmen that were surrounding the tavern with torches in hand.
Surely he'd listen to me, though, if I went out there, she asked in desperation. And what if, against all odds, it turned out you were right and he was trying to have you killed for some reason? You'd be right back where you started.
No, I'll talk to him. Stand back.
April took a step backwards and Balthar unbolted the window and pushed it open. Several guardsmen immediately aimed bows at his position.
Handel! This is just a misunderstanding, mate! The princess, she's confused, and came here. I swear upon my life and the soul of my beloved Greta, I did not kidnap April.
April recalled Balthar mentioning Greta before, sporadically. They were married, opened the tavern together, and not long after she fell deathly ill. It was one of the many points where Balthar and the king shared common ground.
You hear that, men? Lies, lies, and more damned lies.
The king paced back and forth before the front line of soldiers,
and he's trying to use the memory of his dead wife to muster sympathy.
King Quosteed turned to face Balthar and stared him in the eye.
Well, I'll have none of it. Stanisforth!
Yes, sir, your highness, sir.
The guardsmen stood to attention.
Smoke them out,
the king said with steely disdain.
What?
Before Balthar could question what was happening, the royal guard were closed in on the palace and were holding their torches to the wooden beams in the exterior.
Bloody hell!
Balthar took a few paces back from the window in dismay.
What are they doing?
April shouted.
I can't believe he'd do it. This is all I have left of her. He knows what it means to me, this place.
Balthar stared, unable to blink.
And he'd tear that from me in a heartbeat. For what? To lure us outside? Balthar!
April shook the dwarf by the shoulder.
Balthar, would Greta want you to fight or to live?
He looked April in the eye.
Oh, she'd want to fight, all right, unless she knew we'd lose. Against your father...
Balthar turned away and slammed his fist into the nearest wall. He stood for a moment, fist embedded into the wall, and took shallow breaths.
We've not a hope of taking him on right now, especially with the royal guard at his side.
So what do we do? They have the tavern surrounded.
Gather your things and wait here. We don't have long.
Balthar rushed off into another corner of the tavern as April stuffed her belongings back into her bag. Willow helpfully picked up her ball and placed it gently on the top. Good girl. April smiled and gently stroked the dog's head. They could hear footsteps running frantically around the upstairs of the tavern until Balthar reappeared in the doorway holding a large duffel bag and sporting a thick leather jacket. You ready, princess? He asked, catching his breath. April took one last look behind her and caught a glimpse of her father staring straight at the window. He stood resolute, eyes gleaming, hair and beard swaying gently in the breeze. Soldiers were teeming around him and the orange glow was growing brighter as flames licked their way up the outside of the building. Let's go, she said finally. With Balthar leading the way, the three of them made their way downstairs into the smoke-laden bar. Trying not to breathe, they ducked through the kitchen in the center of the tavern and Balthar led them down into the cellar. It was dark and cool, and there was no smoke down there. Hold this, he said, passing April his bag with one hand. It was immensely heavy, and she struggled to hold it up, though she refused to let him know it. Balthar grasped one side of his enormous wine rack, and lifted and dragged it backwards, like the opening of an extremely heavy door. Behind was a small hatch with a ladder leading downwards, and an ungodly smell emanated from below. Willow padded up to it and sniffed curiously.
Are we going down there? April asked, recoiling slightly from the dank hole.
Yep, the spy's entrance is our exit in this case. And, well, it's the exit for a lot of other things, I suppose.
So, it's a hole that leads into the sewers, April confirmed, loathing every word as it came out.
Correct, O darling princess. Let this be your initiation into the world outside of the palace.
Quite poetic, now that I think of it, Balthar smirked.
Poetic how exactly? April frowned.
It's a very literal fall from grace, into the muck with the rest of us, Balthar winked. I'll head down first, he said, plucking his bag from April's weary arms.
He squeezed his broad shoulders into the narrow hole and gradually descended, feet clunking on the iron rods of the ladder as he went. There was a distinctly wet sound from the bottom.
All right, pass us, Willow.
Okay.
April lifted Willow, knelt down, and took her as close to the hole as possible. The dog was visibly concerned, unsure of what was going on, and very aware that she didn't have a choice in any of it.
Whenever you're ready!
Balthar stood with his arms outstretched at the bottom of the hole. April shrugged, looked Willow in the eye, and let go. The dog's eyes grew wide as she hung in midair for a moment. There was a small amount of wild flailing before Willow disappeared from view. April could hear an echoed voice say,
Ha! Got you! Poor thing, you didn't know what hit you, eh?
Willow was more thinking that it wasn't as bad as the last time she was dropped from a great height up on the roof terrace. Moments later, April clambered down the ladder and joined them with a splash as she stepped into the sewer.
Ugh, is that...
Yep.
From people's...
Yep.
And we have to walk through this...
Yep.
Crawl if you're really lucky,
the dwarf grinned. As he spoke, there was a loud crash from above. The smile left Balthar's face as quickly as it came, and he felt around the hole overhead until he found a length of rope.
Ah, there we go.
He grabbed it tight with two hands and heaved. April could hear the wine rack dragging its way back across the cellar to cover up the hole.
Is this why you kept the sewer entrance, instead of breaking it up like a normal person?
In my experience, Balthar said, grunting, it pays to have options.
The wine rack clunked back into place against the wall above.
For instance, when a homicidal king is trying to have you hung for treason.
April had to admit he had a point. She decided that if she ever bought a home, it would have a much cleaner means of escape.
All right, we'd best start walking. We've a few miles of this yet before we're anywhere near safe.
Miles?
April asked, incredulous.
Unless you fancy a stroll around town, that is. See how many friendly royal guards are about?
Balthar suggested. April's shoulders sank as she resigned herself to trudging through sewers for the next hour. Between getting lost, barely being able to see, and having plenty of large metal grates in their way, it took closer to 2 hours, actually. Though April saw the bright side in that she didn't end up having to crawl through any of it. The slightly suffocated trio came out at a tributary of the River Hybel, where the water became cooler and cleaner. They took the opportunity to wash their feet in clean waters. Willow ran and leapt into the river. She was much closer to the muck, after all. After shaking themselves off on the small sandbank, they took in their surroundings. To their right, the sand turned into grass, and then clumps of forest. Beyond that, April could see a road, which led to a bridge, which led back to the town itself. Greenbridge was alert and alive, unusual for the early hours of the morning, but then there was a clearly visible pillar of flame and smoke dominating the skyline.
Across the other side of the tributary were yet more trees. Greenbridge was called so for a reason, April surmised.
Ah, fresh air, Balthar exclaimed, taking in a lungful at a time. Which means, he produced a cigarette from his pocket, enjoyably unfresh air.
You know those things will kill you, April pointed out.
Not if your father does first, Balthar retorted, lighting it and taking a drag. Now then, we'd best get going. They must know we're not in the tavern by now, which means they'll be out here looking for us in no time.
April nodded and followed, despite her aching bones and the overwhelming desire to sit down. The three of them snuck into the forest closest to them and began ambling in what appeared to be no particular direction.
Where exactly are we going, Balthar?
Ah, you'll see, don't worry. Just stay close and follow for now.
It was another 2 hours still of traipsing through the dark, lively forest before they reached their destination. April's feet hurt from the walking and from the various debris on the forest floor. She was still barefoot as she always had been, but reality was swiftly catching up with this idea. Finally, they entered a wide clearing in the midst of all the trees. It was slightly raised and grassy underfoot. In the center stood two ornately carved wooden benches about 6 feet in length, and behind a range of carved wooden statues resembling woodland animals and a few well-known iterations of the nature gods. Between the two benches was a fire pit ready stocked with wood.
What is this place?
April stared in awe at the serene beauty.
Greta and I found this place a long while ago. We'd come here to escape and just be, Balthar said wistfully.
And you carved all of these? April asked.
Well, in truth, Greta was much better than me. If any of them look a little rough, they're probably mine. She always was the artistic one. A bard, you know.
A switch flicked in April's head.
And you're the beast! She exclaimed.
Oh, wow. So the tavern really was a part of her. The excitement quickly evaporated. I'm so sorry, Balthar.
Ah, it's all right, love. She's still a part of me, and nothing can change that.
Balthar laid his bag down on the more delicately carved bench.
Let's get set up and get some sleep. There's little chance of the king and his guard finding us here.
Okay.
They each prepared their respective benches, Balthar having had the foresight to bring 2 bedrolls with him, and got ready for some much-needed rest. The dwarf lit the fire in preparation for the chilling hours later on. They both settled in, toasty and warm inside their bedrolls, and April finally, finally relaxed. Balthar stared up at the canvas of stars above, partially obscured by treetops, and began to sing.
Though there were a story told of misty forests, glory and gold, fire and light are found within the depths of dearest Dunedin. They say a truth is seldom spoke, except to lovers sleeping and woke. Fear me not, I'll rest within the depths of dearest Dunedin. Hold on, my love, hold on. Hold till your rest has come. Hold on, my love, hold on. Hold till Dunedin. To wait and ne'er to stray from thee. To you I pledge my fealty. I love you, darling. I'll find you in the depths of dearest Dunedin.
April had dozed off during the song, with Willow curled up next to her. Balthar wiped his eyes.
Ah, she always sung it better anyway.
Balthar turned on his side, and suddenly he noticed a black figure hunched over the fire staring into the pit. A silken voice spoke.
You must be Balthar of Landreth. I've heard much about you. Your military record is quite striking.
Silanth stood and gazed over at the prone dwarf.
And you must be the ranger. I didn't catch your name, Balthar said warily.
Because I didn't throw it.
But you may call me Salanth. The ranger walked over and knelt down next to Balthar. You and I have much to discuss.